Game on. GAA.
Now, the University of Limerick have launched a new GAA jersey featuring the colours of Pride. It's the first GAA club in the country to introduce such a kit, and it will be a permanent fixture on the shirt for years to come. I'm delighted now to be joined on the line by Fiona McHale to give us some background on how this came about. Fiona, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Marie. How are you?
I'm great. Look, this is a brilliant initiative and a really important one as well. Where did the idea come from, and how did you make it happen?
Yeah, so, well, I suppose it's probably, it, well, the idea now, I'm going to give full credit to it for DJ Collins. I feel like it was sparked just after we took part in a shout-out workshop in the PE and Sports Science Department in UL, which took place over the summer. So shout-out, for people who don't know what it is, it's an organisation that provide information to mainly schools, teachers and students. They provide them with information around LGBTQ plus issues, terminology, just around awareness raising as well. So we took part in that workshop, and it was really heartening, actually. There was a lot of people at the workshop that day. We would have had coaches, lecturers in the department, also students who were going on to be PE teachers. So there was a nice broad range of people there, and they were all there for the purpose of informing themselves. And I myself am from the LGBT community, so afterwards I was kind of ashamed, because I was like, geez, I can't believe that there was so much I learned from the workshop, and I kind of felt, geez, I should have sought this information sooner than I did, because I found it really beneficial, and I know everyone else did too. So myself and DJ were just chatting after. I think Anna Galvin could have been in the conversation as well, and we were just talking about the struggles that people are facing these days, just struggling with their identity, struggling with their sexuality. And DJ being DJ, he went away and had a think about it. And, you know, sometimes people can say a lot of these things that people do, they're tokenism, but DJ really went away and wanted to do something to help, like even if in just a small way, because I suppose he's in a role where he can make a difference. So DJ is the manager of the UL Ladies football team, but he's also heavily involved in the UL GAA club as well. And he came back with the idea of putting the pride colours, which symbolise the LGBT community, on the sleeves of the jerseys, and also decided to put the Jigsaw logo on the back as well, to promote positive mental health in youth. And yeah, it was just a fantastic idea. And like, DJ just, he cares so much about his players that he would hate to think that somebody would come into UL and would be playing in his team and wouldn't feel like they belonged, or wouldn't feel included, or perhaps just wouldn't be able to be themselves. And I think that's a big thing with things like this, with initiatives that a lot of organisations are doing now. It's really just to try and create a space or an environment where people can feel, yeah, I can be myself here. And it might just seem like a really small thing, putting those colours on the jersey. And while it is a small thing, it's a small symbol, those small things add up to be big things. It could be a really big deal for one person even who's coming into UL to play football or hurling or camogie.
Yeah, I guess, look, that's the crux of it, isn't it? A lot of people play sport and stick with sport or join clubs and join associations because they want to feel like they're part of something, and they want to feel like they belong, and they want to feel like they're included. And that little symbol, I'd imagine, is going to go a long way to helping an awful lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what was really meaningful about it was the fact that it's a permanent fixture on the jersey. So it's going to be there for a long time, and it's not just something that's there for a week or there for a month. It's going to be there. And when people put on that jersey, yeah, like eventually people won't even take any notice of it. But I think that it's a massive statement from the GAA club. And also, even I wasn't at the launch myself, but I saw some of the photos and images on social media during the week and thought they were really powerful images, like for lots of different reasons. Like, you had Larry McCarthy, the GAA president, you had Kirsten May, the UL president, and then you had players from all the different codes as well, both lads and girls. So just that kind of togetherness and bringing that together just to promote such an important message within the club, I thought that was really important as well.
It goes well with the colours as well, though, I have to say.
It's a real slick jersey, actually, to be fair. It looks really well. They did it really well, yeah.
So now, Fiona, what about you? Right, so this season you came back. You played midfield for pretty much all of the championship. So after taking a break from Mayo, you rejoined the team. What was it like being back?
It was great. Yeah, I couldn't have asked for better, really. Went back in straight away. I just felt it just felt right. It felt right to be back training with Mayo. It felt right to be back with the girls. And then once we started in the league pretty quickly, just felt right to be putting the Mayo jersey back on. So, yeah, like, personally, it was great to be back playing with Mayo, but obviously, collectively, as a group, we probably had a mixed enough season. You know, having new management team in as well, obviously, you know, you can expect a lot of a season, but when you have a new management team in, you have to be patient as well with what you're trying to achieve. So, you know, we would be happy enough that, you know, we made a league semi-final, we made an All-Ireland semi-final, but we would have been ultimately very disappointed at the end of the season after losing to Dublin. We probably felt that we didn't do ourselves justice on the day, and things we were trying to do, they didn't just pull off for us on the day. But it probably makes us realise as well, we are still that bit behind Dublin, and, you know, we'll have to take a lot of learning from this year and build on all the good things that we did this year, but bring that forward to next year, because, you know, ultimately we want to go that one step further and get to a final. You know, it was a mixed enough season. We were playing Division 2 teams in our group games and in championship, and had a comprehensive win over Cavan, probably stumbled through the Monaghan game, and then struggled a lot against Armagh. So, you know, we were delighted to get over Galway in the quarter and get to the semi. But we'll have to take a lot of learning from those other games and bring it to next year.
And what about yourself? How did you feel being back, like just being back playing at the top level of the game again?
Yeah, it was good. I felt physically, it was something I was probably concerned about, was going back in, playing at that level. You know, if you haven't played in 3 years and then your age profile as well wouldn't help, but I kept myself ticking over the last few years to ensure I was still be at that level. But I felt like I fit in seamlessly enough. But I definitely felt like the season being so short, like we were really only on the pitch with the group for maybe four to five months, that I feel I still have a lot more to give, and definitely I'd like to feel that I can improve for next year. Because, you know, those 4 months, they're not enough, and you need more time on the pitch and you need more time playing football. And even we're back now playing with our clubs, and you're getting, you know, it's great in Mayo. We've had three round games already in the last month, and you feel like you're getting more football and you're building it back up again. So I'd be looking forward to next year now again.
Are you looking forward to it even more when you see what Meath were able to do? So for such a long time, Dublin seemed like they were that invincible team. Look, mirrored the men's football championship as well. You know, they were going for five in a row or six in a row and seven in a row, and that for the men. But for the women, now that Meath have beaten them and shown that they're not invincible, does it make it almost more exciting next year?
Yeah, it's like that old saying, it seems impossible until it's done. And we saw Meath do that to Dublin this year, and Mayo Men did it to Dublin then as well. So all the underdogs next year definitely gives us all hope. But what Meath did was incredible. Like, and again, it comes back to that kind of momentum and continuity as well, given, you know, they've had the same management team for the last 4 or 5 years. They've been in an All-Ireland final, they've played in Croke Park, they've had the same S&C coach for the last 5 years, same manager. So they were building all along, and like, you can see that their style of play has developed over the years, and it's getting better and better. Mm-hmm. And they're really perfecting it, but what they did was incredible. And no one really gave them a chance when they were in the final against Dublin. And when you look back, really, people should have been giving them a chance, because they beat a lot of the big teams along the way. They beat a really good Armagh side, and they beat Cork as well in that semi-final. But it's wide open again this year. Like, everyone's going to fear Meath now. Mm-hmm. Everyone's still going to fear Dublin. Dublin haven't gone away. And you have Cork now with a new management team as well. And you've Galway, who are similar to us, who have a new management team since last year. And they'll be trying to build on what they were doing last year. I felt they were a little bit depleted last year. So I'll be expecting more from them. So again, it's wide open. And there's, you know, in a way, next year is nearly going to be harder because everyone's going to be pushing that little bit harder. Yeah. And now you've got two teams at the top who everyone is trying to emulate, and also you have Cork as well, who are always thereabouts in the top two.
No surprise really to see Meath dominating the Ulster nominations as well, with 14 players on the list.
Yeah, 14 is incredible. I think Dublin had that a couple of years ago as well. Even when you look at the list of the Meath players, like, straight off when I look, like, my standout players this year from Meath were Monica McGurk, thought she's fantastic, Emma Troy, cornerback, Vicky Wall and Emma Duggan, Maura Shaughnessy in midfield, and I thought Neve O'Sullivan, while she was solid all year and she probably wasn't in the limelight as much as some of the other forwards, but she had an amazing final as well. So that's six already that I'm thinking, like, how could they not get All-Stars? And, you know, then you look at the rest of the counties, like, we'd be delighted in Mayo, we got six. I'm delighted for Shauna Howley, got her first All-Star nomination after coming back as well this year, having not played in 3 years. And there's a couple of interesting ones as well, like the way the LGFA put out the All-Star nomination, they already have the players in their position, so they'd have three players in for corner forward, three in for full forward. And normally they'd put them out as just a bunch of half forwards or a bunch of full forwards. There's a little bit more guessing to do, whereas I suppose looking at it now, people are nearly guessing probably 12 certs. But some of the ones I'm looking at that you wouldn't be sure about, Nima Scally, Geraldine McLaughlin, and Louise Nima Hersey for that corner forward spot. And the other corner forward then, Vicky Wall and Amy Macken are in there, and Fáil O'Leary. But no disrespect to Fáil O'Leary, but Vicky Wall, like, she was probably, she could end up being Players Player of the Year, but Amy Mack and the like could easily be Players Player of the Year as well. So I thought that one was really interesting. And another interesting thing about that too was Vicky Wall had number 13 on her back all season, but she really played out around the middle, in around the half forward line as well. So we have to take that into consideration too. But yeah, for Cork as well, I thought Erica O'Shea was outstanding. I think she's such an up-and-coming player for Cork. She has everything. She's an amazing defender. She's also equally good at going forward. And Hannah Tyrrell, standout player for Dublin too this year as well. And delighted to see her getting her nomination.
Yeah, I do like the look of having the position-specific nominations, because it definitely adds to the debate, I think, as well. It just brings it really into sharp focus, as you outlined really well there, Fiona. So look, Camir, thanks so much, Fiona. You're back playing club at the moment. You're probably flat out. Just one quick thing before I finish up. We saw Breed Stack head to Australia. She's a little bit older than you, I'd say now. Would you ever think about going down under yourself?
No, definitely not. No, I think my time has passed now to be going to Australia. I'm fully focusing on Mayo for now. And no, definitely not. I have to try and perfect my Mayo game first. It's about changing sport. It's hard enough.
I know, I actually don't know how they do it. We had Lauren McGee on last night and she was talking about going down now for the pre-season and then she'll come back, and depending on their fixtures down there, it'll be straight into league and then championship. And I was making the point, they're two different sports, you know, with, like, you're transitioning from two different sports. I know there's similarities, but, you know, it's still a lot to do.
Yeah, I feel like I would struggle with that now, to be honest. And not even, yeah, like, two different sports in terms of, like, the shape of the ball, obviously.
The rules,
but also just even tactically and your game sense, I think that would be the difficult thing too. You'd be, you know, from chatting to some of the Mayo girls when they came back, they'd be thinking a little bit differently about the way the game is played. So, you know, they have, once they come back in to football or once they go over to Australia, you have to, like, start clicking into that game mode, which I think would be quite hard to do. I know Cora is playing club with us at the moment, and there's no signs of her, as in, like, she's back playing football and she's every bit the footballer that she ever was. So fair play to them if that they're able to do that. But definitely it must be a little bit challenging. And they don't really, not much of a break either. I know last year the girls came back and they were straight in playing with Mayo as well, which is quite difficult. But I suppose if you're given the opportunity to do both, it's what you have to do. So you do need that little bit of time to just get back, kind of get back into the rhythm of the other sport.
So she's still the footballer that she ever was, always was. Have you tried to coax her back?
No. I don't know. She's good enough to be playing with Mayo anyway. But she's given a lot of service to the jersey, and she's proven herself, and she's won everything she can, and I'm sure she's happy with her lot now at this stage, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't know. As a fan, you just love to, if she can still play, like, I mean, give the people what they want. Wouldn't it be great to see her having another couple of championships? It'd be absolutely amazing. I'd love to see it. Sure, you might drop her in on WhatsApp there and get the campaign going, Fiona.
Well, we're just delighted to have her with Ciarán na Cumann. So she'll be here. She'll be here. We're playing Moy Davitt the weekend in the county semi-final. So we'll have her for that. So we're delighted to have her there. No, it's great. It's
so
great.
You have her for that, and you're not sharing her, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. For now, anyway.
Fiona, thanks as always for joining us, and we will talk to you again soon. Best of luck the weekend.
Thanks, Marie. Take care.
Thanks, a million. Bye-bye. Game on. GAA.